You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Wow. I feel very honored by that. Thank you. And I love that you got to see a little bit of my living room, because I really wish that we were all sitting together in my living room right now. I want to say that it is absolutely Wellness Week. Slides, are slides showing up somewhere? Hopefully they will. It is Wellness Week, and because we are all beautiful image bearers, that means that somewhere deep inside of you, and maybe you feel it constantly coursing through you, but even if you don't, deep inside of you, there is that of God. You are an image bearer. And that means that somewhere, no matter what is going on outside of you, which is probably a rush of things constantly happening and that you constantly have to keep up with, somewhere deep inside of you, it is well. God absolutely adores you, like loves you more than you can ever even imagine, even when life feels so full and overwhelming. Even though social anxiety is on the rise and was on the rise prior to the pandemic, loneliness was a huge issue, difficulty focusing was a big issue, then COVID hit, right? And we were all stuck, isolated away, doing most of our lives with screens, and it only made things worse. So we're gonna do a very quick little breeze through 2020 to show you how what was already a mental health crisis became even worse, and how very likely right now the stressors and anxiety that you feel are somewhat related to what we've just been through. So the pandemic hit, and what did we all do? We all started hoarding toilet paper, right? Wherever you went, you couldn't find enough, and we were just busy making sure we would have what we needed. Then a few weeks into COVID, it's more like 3 weeks, a video surprisingly shot to the top of YouTube and became the most viewed video of all times and remains that to this day. Anybody have a guess? Nope? Okay, I'm gonna play it for you, and I hope you're gonna play along. Here we go, ready?
Paper.
Okay, I'm expecting audience participation here. Ready? I know! Don't you love me? Here we go, come on. You can do this. Most viewed video of all time, right? Come on. Here we go, ready? Ready for mama?
Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark.
Daddy shark, do 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 do. Daddy shark, do 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 do. Daddy shark, do 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 do. Daddy shark.
Grandma shark, do 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 do. Grandma shark, do 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 do. Grandma shark, do 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 do. Grandma shark.
Okay. Enough of this goofiness. Then. When we were so blissfully happy, right, singing along with our families to Baby Shark, something bizarre happened. And about 5 weeks into COVID, we saw this massive show take off, and it became the most viewed series ever on Netflix. Anybody have a guess? Here we go, right?
It's not every day that a zookeeper went to prison for murder for hire.
There are more captive tigers in the U.S. than there are in the wild throughout the world.
Animal people are nuts, man. They're all crazy.
I'm sure y'all got a story to tell.
I had to stop it there because if we kept going, every other word was a swear word and I'd never be invited back. So, in any case, how did we do this? How did we go from, first of all, hoarding and keeping everything close to ourselves, partially because we were terrified, then we kind of went like, oh, this isn't so bad. We can get through this. It'll probably just be a few weeks, right? And so then we start, you know, baby sharking. And pretty soon when we began to feel the effects of isolation, the effects of a lack of stimulation, a lack of reward, we suddenly found Tiger King, which is like the least life-affirming show I have ever watched in my life, right? So then we're all walking around sort of feeling like stuck and isolated and totally depressed and paranoid about whatever is going on in the world. We also created a ton of habits in the last year, and these habits did not always help us. Now, there are the pre-COVID kinds of habits, things like, you know, picking your nose, right, that are maybe not so socially acceptable and wonderful. But we also developed some other habits that were sort of great, like only getting dressed top up, right? Like, this is the first time I have done a speech like this or a talk like this fully dressed in 2 years. I'm not joking. Normally, it's, you know, yoga pants and like a business jacket on top. These were fun habits. There were some fun things. We were able to connect with people more in screens in some ways than we had before. We were able to have a little less structured time in our lives. And yet there were some other habits that have emerged during this time that have emerged in some ways we have thought to help us cope with the monotony and the isolation of the time, but that will actually hurt us. We know that suicidal thoughts and attempts are up exponentially. We know that self-harm is a greater issue than ever for people who have felt desperate for connection and for intense feelings and haven't had ways of having those outside of themselves. We also know that substance use is up as a result of the kind of isolation of COVID, that when we can't find stimulation outside of ourselves or rest inside of ourselves, because guess what? Our habits prior to the pandemic brought us to this past year bereft of the skills we needed to do it well. Skills of coming back into ourselves to meet God there and ourselves. Skills of being able to be quiet and bored. And instead, we just spent all of our time gaming, doing social media, Netflixing ourselves, you know, into oblivion, Googling the answer to everything, right? We have lost some of the ability to force ourselves to think critically. Now, I am in no way shaming you. I use my phone, I am quite confident, as much as you do yours. And in fact, I would like to ask for your forgiveness. I'm not joking, because my generation has handed you this beautiful thing called technology, and then we've done nothing but talk smack about you for using it, right? I am sorry. We should have done better. And I want to help you think about how to do better. The problem is now that we've all literally rewired our brains. So the brain, it works by this function. God created it really cool. Coolly, I'm not used to speaking in front of people anymore. In that where the brain fires together, it wires together. What this means is that what you expose your brain to impacts the literal physical neurological wiring within the brain. So if you expose yourself to constant stimulation, if you expose yourself to constant TikToks every day, right, you are literally forcing the brain to wire in the regions of the brain that can handle focus for about 30 seconds, meaning you are not forcing the brain to be in moments or experiences where it would benefit you to have a longer sense of focus, a greater sense of presence. And this has an impact on us because the same regions of the brain that are responsible for focus are also responsible for what's called emotional regulation, which means the ability to feel well, the ability to be integrated, to feel like we can handle the stressors that are going on, because at the end of the day, we can come back to a place of center and quiet and calm. Instead, we just keep wiring our brains like this. The two most viewed TikToks during COVID.
The B, it's M to the B, it's M, 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 M to the B, it's M to the B, it's M to the B. Bang.
Right? Or
now here you go again, you say we want your freedom. Well, who am I to keep you down? It's all right that you should play the way you feel it.
Okay, the power of TikTok. The stock price of Ocean Spray doubled within the first 24 hours of this video being out there. We also had a price on our brains, right? Our habits just have so much to say about how well we are or about how unwell, how at dis-ease we feel inside of ourselves. Our screen habits in particular, since that's my area of research and expertise, have a profound impact on both our wellness and our lack of it. It comes with benefits and costs. I've already mentioned a few of the costs, but I want to kind of highlight them again. The three big harmful effects, and I wish I had hours and hours with you. If I did, I would kind of, the whole first part of this chapel talk would just be about cool, fun things that the brain responds to within technology and ways it can build. Today, however, because we're talking about wellness, I want to just give you, again, as a person who cares about you and as a person who deeply respects you, your generation is going to change the world in ways no other generation has. You are all incredible. And you are living in a time where these short sound bites delivered by these devices that we carry with us everywhere and that fill all of our time are deeply and profoundly impacting the ease you have in focusing. Maybe you've noticed that when there's a pause, like a silence, you get uncomfortable. Maybe you've noticed that at every red light when you're driving, you grab your device, your phone, to look at it. Maybe you find yourself in class being kind of curious about what's going on within your video game space. It's very normal, and yet it also has a deep effect on your focus. It also profoundly affects all of our ability to delay. I'm sure you all know this. You're working on a paper, but you hear a text message indicator come in, and you can't stay focused on your paper. You just got to check that text. That may not seem like a very big deal in that moment, but over time, it means that we have a very hard time managing the anxiety that comes up when we have to delay. And this is a huge issue for most young adults that I talk with. And then finally, the way in which we use our screens does deeply, profoundly affect the way that we feel emotionally. A sense of regulation is when we feel kind of in the groove. We feel like that guy on his skateboard, right? You know, just kind of like things are going smoothly. That's what regulation feels like. Our thoughts feel kind of in keeping with where we want to be. Our feelings are kind of, we're aware of them. We may feel things we don't like feeling, but we're aware of them. We can work through them. And our bodies are sort of kind of cooperating with both our thoughts and our emotions. When that isn't happening, which is most of the time for us now who live in this constantly stimulating world, we feel dysregulated. Oftentimes we can use the whole idea of habits versus norms to bring us some healing in those three areas, focus, delay, and regulation. Now it's always easier to establish healthy norms than it is to break bad habits. A norm is just something we put in place to keep us healthy, like brushing our teeth at night, right? If you have the norm of brushing your teeth at night, you will likely avoid cavities, where if you have the habit of just going to sleep at night without brushing your teeth, you will not avoid them. But the hard thing is we have to break habits before we can establish new norms. And most of us have a lot of habits in place. And we have a lot of habits in place, especially around technology, after this 19-month time where we've been even more attached to it than we were before. So I want to encourage you, based on my research, to think about these 7 technology habits that you might think about making a little bit of headway in. Because here's the beautiful thing that we know. Just as we know that the amount of time we spend with screens, which right now in America, just checked the stats again last night, is 13 hours a day. The way we get to this is by when you are multitasking with screens, when you have a cell phone and a laptop, let's say, or you're watching a movie on a flat screen and on your tablet. If you do that for 1 hour, you have to put those, in terms of research, psychological research, you have to put those side by side to make it 2 hours of impact. Because the impact on your brain and body is even more profound when you're multitasking than single tasking. We know, however, God is so cool in the way that God created our brains, that 10 minutes a day of doing absolutely nothing, this could look like contemplative prayer, and we're actually going to do it together at the end of chapel, so you're going to get a little opportunity to do this. 10 minutes of what the Dutch, anybody in here Dutch? Woohoo! Okay. The Dutch call this Niksen, N-I-K-S-E-N, and it means doing nothing deliciously. It means when you're just sitting and staring into space, looking at the clouds, maybe you're doing a contemplative prayer exercise or a mindfulness meditation. 10 minutes a day of this doubles the gray matter and doubles the myelinization in the regions of the brain that are responsible for the ability to focus, to delay, and to come back to a state of feeling like it is well, which is that state of emotional regulation. So the first thing you can do to start making space for this 10 minutes is to think about stopping multitasking. If you only do one thing as you leave here today, well, if you only do one thing, it would be to add that 10 minutes a day, which we're going to practice together. If you do two things, the second thing would be to just keep an eye on when you are multitasking with screens. Multitasking with screens, meaning working on a paper while texting or watching a movie while working on a paper, sometimes even listening to lyric-based music while working on a paper, actually short circuits the brain in the regions that you really want wiring in for long-term kind of functioning and life satisfaction. The second thing you can do is stop avoiding boredom. Boredom is not your enemy, it is your friend. And to kind of take hold of some of the moments for boredom, you can start banking some of your idle time. Idle time is when you're sitting in class waiting for your professor to show up, or when you're sitting at a red light, or in the commercial break if you're watching a game. These are moments that you can just collect and bank to use for that 10 minutes of boredom, that 10 minutes of connecting deep within yourself and with God within you. We can stop thinking about socializing and communicating as happening only online. Some of the time, invite awkward conversations. Right now, I'm not kidding, just turn to the person next to you and look into their eyes for 10 seconds. Here we go, you can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wasn't that amazing? I dare you all on campus today when you're walking around to just say like eye contact or to say awkward moment. It actually benefits us and creates in us an ability to feel better and more well within ourselves when we can handle in-person communication. See how much you love it? You're still having it. Okay. We also, let's bring the focus back. We also want to think about kind of avoiding hyper-escapism. We tend to lean toward our screens when we feel uncomfortable or stressed. And guess what? Our screens only make us physiologically more distressed and uncomfortable. So if we can some of the time, again, come back into our bodies, which is also that disembodiment, take care of like getting some deep breaths. Let's do that together right now. The best way to take a deep breath is to inhale in through your nose and to exhale out through your mouth. Now add to that one other thing and you will find a much deeper sense of regulating breath. When you take that inhale, most Americans go like this, and they fill up the top part of their lungs. What we want to do is fill up the lower part of your lungs. So put your hands on your belly. When you take that inhale, we actually want your belly to expand. And then we want it to drop down flat on the exhale. Three of those actually physiologically counteract anxiety at a profound level. And finally, some of the times we need to stop thinking about just distracting ourselves and start instead to think about soothing ourselves. And one of the best ways to feel soothed, to feel comforted, is to feel seen. And we have access to a God who wants to see us at all times, but we rarely slow down enough to actually imagine being held within the gaze of God. Once you start breaking some of these habits, you can put new norms in place. And these are, my newest book is about, you know, what the pandemic taught us. And these are the five things that continue to come out in my research. And these are the norms that I would encourage you to put into place. Slow down. Some of the time, just do one thing at a time. It'll be frustrating. You won't get as much done, but your central nervous system will pay you back by feeling centered and well. Be bold about loving the people that you love and about doing the things you are called to do, because this year taught us that our time isn't something we should take for granted, right? And our experiences out in the world. Become a better communicator. When you are hurting, ask for help. When you feel dysregulated, tell somebody that you feel overwhelmed and see if they can help you come back to center. Also, part of being a better communicator is being empathic. Start noticing when the people around you are hurting and offer to be with them in that. You don't have to carry it for them, but simply, normally when I'm in a chapel like this, the second chapel I do, I offer people. If you can't imagine the gaze, the look of a loving God, if that isn't in your experience with people, come up here afterwards and I will offer it to you, because I absolutely know that God would love to gaze into your eyes and tell you, you're incredible. That of God would say, that of me in you is only in you. I need it to be bigger and more. So be an empathic person, seeing that of God in those around you and encouraging it. Tend to your body. Have fun experiences in your body, not just online. Again, do awkward things. Sidewalk chalk all over the campus. Fun and encouraging messages. Have a pillow fight. But do things that are fun in your body. Get good sleep. Eat good food. And watch your connection to screens. Moderate it. And then finally, one of the best things for your mental health is for you to sometimes turn away from screens rather than looking at your performance in a game or the number of likes for a post or the number of followers. Instead, to come back to yourself, where there is that of God, that image bearerness. An internal locus of control says, my feelings about myself aren't based on what other people think of me. They are based on my knowledge of myself, my honesty about my strengths and weaknesses, my connection with the God who adores me. So basically, coming back to remembering that all is well, even in this really overwhelming, tech-drenched world, is all about being able to be still. And that's not something that we know how to do anymore. So I'm just going to spend the next 10 minutes giving you a short teaching lesson. Before we do that, I'm going to jump ahead, because if any of you want to reach out to me and connect, I would love that. So I'm going to just, if you want to take a picture of this before we do our next little example, these are ways you can reach me, and I would love if you do. I would love to hear your story or help you on your journey. Please feel free to reach out.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu, or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.